Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this week's English Khutbah, and the topic is the role of the family in protecting children from addiction and drugs. Alhamdulillah. All praises are due to Allah for His tremendous blessings, and thanks and gratitude is due to Him for His great favor, the favor of existence itself. For He has blessed us with the blessings of children, and He has placed them in our hands as a trust and a responsibility by which we will be taken to account as parents. And I bear witness with every facet of my being that there is nothing worthy of absolute love and adoration except Allah, the uniquely One, having no competing second or partner in that oneness. And I bear witness that our leader and our master, our Prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the perfect example of servanthood unto Allah and the most complete and best of character. And he was indeed his sent messenger unto the entirety of the created universe. Amma ba'd. To continue, I advise you, dutiful servants of Allah and myself, to adhere to a heartfelt consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, known as taqwa. For he, the most gloriously transcendent, states, Ya ayyuhan nasu taqoo rabbakumu alladhi khalakakum min nafsin wahida. O mankind, have taqwa of your Lord who created you from one soul. وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And created from that soul its mate and dispersed from both of them many men and women. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. And have taqwa of Allah, through whom you ask one another concerning the wombs, and indeed Allah is ever over you, raqiba, an observer. Ayyuhal Muslimun, O you who believe. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us countless favors. Favors that if we were to try and enumerate and give a number to, we would never be able to incorporate them or encompass them, because they are countless. But amongst these favors, amongst the most prominent of which are the ability to have sense, the ability to have cognition, the ability to have an intellect. And about this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Indeed, the hearing, the sight and the fu'ad, that which is perceiving, that which is taking it all in, about all of these things one will be questioned. The word fu'ad here is a very encompassing word. And although it's translated as the heart in this particular verse, it really denotes many aspects of which is the intellect as well. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that about all of these things, when he says kullu ula'ika kana anhu mas'ula, when he says about all of these things we will be questioned, from amongst these things we will be questioned is the intellect itself. And what does it mean to be questioned? It means to be questioned with regards to what it was used for, how it was used, and whether there was a shukr, there was a gratitude in the ni'am, in the blessing of having that thing. And one of the definitions of gratitude is that you use that thing for which it was intended. Whereas to waste it is a sign of ingratitude. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse and other verses and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has alluded to the obligation for us to preserve our intellect and to use it for what it was intended to be for. And this is why the Sharia as a whole, from its maqasid, from its primary aims, places the hifz, the preservation of the aql, of the intellect, as one of its foundational purposes. One of the whole reasons why Islam has been managed mandated in a legal sense, in a way by which we lead our lives, is to make sure that our intellects are preserved. And this is further supported by ayat of the Quran, verses of the Quran, such as this verse I'm about to recite. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu innamal khamru wal maisiru إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. It said, O you who believe, indeed khamr and maisir, which is indeed intoxicants, and maisir, which is gambling, والأنصاب, and this practice of sacrificing things on stone altars, which was the way of the mushrikun of the time, wal azlam, and divining arrows, superstitious shamanic practices, rijsum min amil shaitan, all of these things are a defilement or a way of leading people astray from the amal, from the actions or the works of shaitan. Fajtanibu, and so avoid all of these things, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, in order that you are successful. And amongst these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned as the activities and the work of shaitan that we've been ordered to abstain from is khamar. Khamar. And khamar literally means an intoxicant, something, and traditionally obviously it's understood to be the alcohol or the spirits that intoxicate the person. But as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, kullu muskirin haram, every intoxicant is haram. Every intoxicant is impermissible. And so what is an intoxicant? In a broader sense, it is any substance that one consumes that will cause them to lose their aql, their intellect, or affect their aql in a way that they're no longer aware of it and can use it to the intent that it's been intended. And so this includes, brothers and sisters, all manners and categories of drugs, whether they be in liquid form, such as alcohol, as we've discussed, or whether they be smoked or ingested or even injected. All of these things, especially those things that cause the mind to go, these things are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And especially of things that has been prohibited are those things that are addictive drugs that lead to a kind of a cycle of addiction and a kind of force where the person, the addict, is so prone and unable to get out of that cycle that his life gets destroyed. And this is a huge global problem. The evidence of why everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated as haram has mandated for our benefit, and everything He's mandated as halal and that which we encourage to do is likewise for our benefit, be it at the benefit at the level of the body, or be it at the benefit at the level of the mind, or most importantly benefit at the level of the soul. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't come close to these are the amal of shaitan, then we're meant to leave these things. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ, leave these things. But if you don't leave them, then ظَهَرَتْ الْحِكْمَةُ, the wisdom will become apparent. And what is the hikmah? There is a global epidemic today of drugs. And this global epidemic has resulted in such a proportion that we see drugs themselves that are crossing borders illegally over 170 countries. And we find that these kind of drugs, if we look at global trade as a whole, what are the things that are being bought and sold? We'll find that the third most bought and sold item are these addictive drugs. Why? Because this is now shaitan's work. And shaitan's purpose is yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas, to whisper into people and to look at that in which they are pained, and to encourage them to seek other than Allah as their solution, and to encourage them to be entrapped in something that will despoil them and make them unable to become people of istiqama, make them unable to be people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this khutbah is to allude to the responsibility we have on ourselves. First and foremost, we have to break addiction in ourselves. Addiction isn't just drugs. Addiction can be anything whereby we're distanced from Allah. But in the specific regards of this khutbah, addiction as drugs is something that we have to be wary of in ourselves, and especially especially as parents, wary of them with regards to our children. Why? Because children, as they're growing up, they're susceptible to society's ills unless the parents are the ones who instill in them, firstly, that self-confidence, that ability of muraqabah, to govern themselves, to have taqwa of themselves, because no parent can be with their child 24/7. No parent can be with their child at every single moment of the day. So unless the parents, in their own form of tarbiyah, in their own form of instilling education and spirituality in their children, unless they've been successful in instilling muraqabah and taqwa in these children, then it's inevitable that children will falter. Inevitable that children will fall for some of these things. And of the worst of these things that we have to beware and make sure our children don't go close to are these addictive drugs. And the Prophet ﷺ alluded to the role of every parent in this regards when he said, "Ar-rajulu ra'in." He said, every single person is ra'in fi ahlihi. Every single man is a shepherd with regards to his flock. وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. And he will be asked about and responsible for his flock. وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا وَمَسْؤُولَةٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهَا. And a woman is the shepherd of the house of her husband, and she is responsible for her flock. And so in this regard, we see what? That the family as a whole, headed by the parents, should be a place of refuge, a place of protection, a place by which the children are protected from these evils. It's a fortress, you could say, and it's also a tarbiyah, a school for tarbiyah. And in this regard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that one of the signs, because if we're parents and we're hoping to instill tarbiyah into our children, children can pick up very quickly if things are wrong in the home. Right? They will see your reality. As they say in Arabic, لِسَانُ الْحَالِ أَبْلَغُ مِنْ لِسَانِ الْمَقَالِ. The tongue of your state is more eloquent than the tongue of what it is you're telling them to do. So if you're sitting there saying, don't watch this, don't read this, don't take this, don't do that, don't, and you're giving them a list of do's and don'ts, and you yourself are undisciplined in your life, you yourself are doing mukhalafat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you yourself don't have a good relationship with your wife, right? Then what do you think the children are really learning from you? They're learning that Islam failed in the house. They're learning that all of this is just empty talk. You can't do it yourself, so why are you telling me? If you're trying to tell me something and how great Islam is and how I'm meant to be saved from this, these bad things out there in the world, why do I not see that in you? That's what the children will pick up on. And so part of us instilling tarbiyah in our families is by having a successful marriage, by having a home of tranquility and sakina, by being part of the solution, not part of the problem. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah says it's from His signs. This is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that He created for you from yourself partners. Why? Why did He do that? Why did He do that? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. That you find tranquility with them. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And made between you mawadda and rahma. And so one of the signs of you having found your partner and being of a person of uprightness and a person who's making this deen real is you need to have mawadda and rahma. Bring rahma between you. Bring sakina in your home. And then the children take in that sakina. They take in that rahma. Because they see this is the operational foundation of this home is a foundation of love, mutual understanding. And if that is the case, then we've won half the battle. Because it means then the children feel open with their parents. The children feel they can trust their parents. The parents become people who the children can take as confidence. The parents become people who the children can speak to about their affairs. Because if they don't become people who the parents can speak to, if they don't become people who the children can trust, then what does that mean? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "الرجلُ على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل." That every person, eventually, his real deen, not the deen he's outwardly saying, "I'm a Muslim," right? No, the real deen, right? What is it you give yourself for? Akayyusu man dana nafsa. The person who gives himself for something is the one who really knows something about that thing. Now, what is it they really live for? الدين الرجل على الدين خليله. Every person is going to be in the deen of who he gives his intimate suhbah to, right? من جالس جانس. Whomsoever you sit with, you become like. And the hum, and the aspirations, and the gham, that which people are concerned about, inevitably shows what it is you are attached to. And what you're attached to is what your real deen is. Your real deen, what your life revolves around, is your real ilah, your real attachments. That's what you're really worshipping. Worshipping isn't an outward ritual. Worshipping, the outward aspects of our religion, are just a way to bring into being that inward attachment of the heart. When we say La ilaha illallah, we've made Allah the Allah. Why? Because we don't have any shay. We do not attach to anything duna. We don't want anything. We've made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maqsood. We've made rida'uhu, his contentment, our aim. We've made Allah the goal of our lives. And so when someone makes something else the goal of their lives, then that's their real deen. Now what happens when you have failed in your home with your child? The child's going to go around and look out, and he's going to find someone else who he's going to give his heart to, who he's going to spill his problems to. And inevitably, if he thinks Islam failed in his home, he's not going to go around and find a practicing Muslim as his friend outside. He's going to go around and find people who likewise think Islam isn't the solution, because he thinks Islam's not the solution. And then when you find someone like that, then you get exposed to all of these pitfalls and evils, the amal of shaitan. Shaitan doesn't need to do much because they're already halfway there. Shaitan just needs to say, go for it, boys and girls. Go for the drugs. And that's why it's not a coincidence. 90% of people who fall into drugs, this is what recent studies indicate, 90% of them have ended up in drugs because the very first moment they took drugs was in the company and on the encouragement of a, what we would call, ashab as-su, a so-called friend who's not really your friend ultimately, because he's taking you down the wrong door, taking you down the door of your own destruction. But who is the ultimate cause of this? The child goes down this door, but what was the first step that pushed him away was that it wasn't a home. There was no home there for him to feel comfortable. There was no relationship there with his own parents. And so first things first, parents, sort out your relationship with your wives, and then mothers and fathers, look to how your relationship is with your children. That's across the board, boys and girls. And that's why we find so many amthila and qasas. We find so many examples and stories in the Quran illustrating to us what should be this relationship between the parents and their children. One of the great stories is of the stories of Luqman al-Hakim, literally Luqman the wise. And what is he saying? Giving a series of advice, a series of counsel to his child. And he constantly says, Ya Bunayya, Ya Bunayya, Ya Bunayya, oh dear son, oh dear son, oh dear son. A sign of affection. Then what does he say in one of these things? He says, Innaha in taku mithqala habbatin min khardalin fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawat aw fil ardi yati bihillah inna allaha latifun khabir. Oh my son, indeed, any wrong, be it the sign of what? Be it the size of a mithqal habbatin, even if it be the weight of a small seed. Min khardalin, of mustard, like, which is literally the smallest of seeds. Fatakun fi sakhratin, and even if this thing be placed within a rock. Or anywhere, fi samawati wal ard, or anywhere in the earth. And this is just building on the metaphor to try and show that nothing is veiled from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what does Sayyidina Luqman say after that? Yati biha Allah. Whatever it is you're hiding, anywhere else in the heavens and the earth, Allah will bring it forth. Inna Allaha latifun khabir. Allah is all aware. Right? He's subtle and he's all acquainted. And the idea behind this being that Sayyidina Luqman is instilling in his child this muraqabah. This state of an awl shay, an ta'budallaha ka'annaka tara, fa in lam takun tara'u, فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ, that you worship Allah as though you see Him. But if you can't, فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ, if you can't, فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ, He is seeing you, right? He is seeing you. There is no way you can be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not aware of what you are doing outwardly and what is your state inwardly. And how could that be any way other than that, when you are only in existence through His creative act, and so it's through His will that you are constantly in existence, but He has given you a sense of freedom, a sense of khiyar, a sense of choice in that, which is why taklif and obligations and accountability comes into existence. And so what does this mean? This means that we need to instill taqwa in our children similarly, to teach them these things and to teach them to be people of jiddiyah, people of seriousness, right? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, da' ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuka, leave that which makes you doubt for that which doesn't make you doubt. Be people of seriousness, be people of jiddiyah. Right, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha arad Allahu azza wa jal bi ahli baytin khayra," if Allah wishes of the people of the house of a family good for them, adkhala alayhim ar-rifq, He brings into their midst and into their hearts ar-rifq, gentleness of heart, gentleness of soul, gentleness of spirit, gentleness of understanding. And then from this comes what? That we'd each help each other maximize their potential. And children are tremendously, they can be so easily molded, and they can be so easily, which is why the idea of kullu mauludin yulad ala fitra, every child is born on the fitra, but it's that fitra that gets affected by the environment, by the parents. And so we as parents, we are meant to be people on deen al fitra. We're trying to keep our religion on that, which draws us back to that primordiality, that reality of the fitra, which is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is witnessing tawheed. And from that comes a lived embodiment of how to be in this life of rahmah, how to be in this life in the people who are always part of the solution, never part of the problem. And from that comes holistic models of tarbiyah. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is reported to have said, "Allimu, teach your children swimming, archery and horse riding." And all of these forms, they might seem like idle entertainment, but there's a holistic benefit to each of these things. Swimming is a comprehensive form of exercise. Archery can only work when you are still of mind. Because although it's a physical exercise, a physical demonstration of precision, it can only work when you're still of mind. And horse riding is teaching you this comprehensive stillness, but in a sense of connection to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Horses are amazing. They sense your energy. They sense where you are. Now, these three things are specifically mentioned, and hence they're praiseworthy for children to engage in. But if you can see the dimension behind them, then you can see there are several other constructive things we can involve our children in. And so one of the things we're meant to do is involve our children in fruitful endeavors, involve them in ta'limat, in dawrat, in lessons and courses, and involve them in voluntary work. Turn their hearts. If someone's born with a silver spoon in his mouth and just has servants and people all around him, every time he can't even lift a bottle of water or a glass of water himself, what do you think's going to happen to this person when he grows up? He's going to be a spoilt brat, and he's never going to be able to take responsibility for himself. So irregardless of the ni'am that Allah has given you, teach your children to take responsibility for themselves. Don't let them be people who grow up spoiled brats. Teach them to be people of responsibility, and some of that is voluntary work. Let them go out and help people. Let them go out and see poverty. Let them go out and see the blessings that Allah has given them. Let them go out and use their hands. Let them go out and use their hearts. Let them go out and use their minds to help the world. And this is what? This is directly taken from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Because not only do we have these hadith about teaching, the Prophet used to encourage leadership for youth at a very young age. We didn't used to give this artificial childhood that extends well into their 20s and they're still somehow little children. No, the Prophet ﷺ, Sayyidina Usama, was leading an army of men, and he was still a teenager. Right? We see these examples from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, and he would encourage children to come forth, encourage children to take part, encourage children, as soon as they're demonstrating aspects of adulthood and tamiz, to facilitate for them the process of growing up. Right? And we just end here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mu'minu al-qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allahi min al-mu'min al-da'if," that a believer who is strong is better and more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a believer who is weak. Wa fi kulli khayr, and in all of the, as long as a person is iman, there is khayr in him. Ihris ala ma yunfa'uk, be avid for what benefits you. Wasta'in billah wa la ta'jaz, and seek your help from Allah in every single affair, and never give up hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if you are taking your isti'ana, your help from Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of those who help. And so we ask Allah's help in the tremendous undertaking of our children. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He first facilitate in our lives this ability to be qudwat al-hasana. Why? So that we can take these examples from the best of examples, the ultimate qudwat al-hasana, uswatun hasana, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but then to reflect that light and reflect that beauty in our lives, so that our children can see that Islam is alive, that Islam is true, that Islam is part of this world and is something that will benefit people, benefit me, and benefit humanity. And then when we have the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this, may He enable us to bring up a jil al-jadeed, a great generation, a generation who will help Allah, help this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may He assist us always to be in the way of piety and obedience. May He assist us always in being devoutly obedient to Him, and to enable us to be of service to the way of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be in obedience and service of those He has ordered us to be in obedience to. I say this, and I seek His forgiveness for me and for you, so seek His forgiveness, for He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. And with this comes to an end this week's khutbah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This khutbah was brought to you by Idhaat al-Quran Abu Dhabi.